what day it is because I'm not quite sure when I'm putting this up. Probably tonight. Who the hell knows? I'm Mike the Birdman Daw. You might be wondering, well, what the hell is this? Well, a couple of years ago, we had this idea back with the original Twig crew, who more or less have all moved on to different projects, to just kind of get together, shoot the shit. And it was Andrew, and it was Ryan, and it was Jamie kind of suggested this idea that why don't we just record some and just kind of...
This was not my idea, and I do not endorse it.
He lies. As you can hear, we have Ryan, but we are also joined by...
Andrew Randrew Roebuck.
And another guy who joined us literally at the last possible second.
Who am I? Where am I? Who are you people? Yeah, how did I get here?
You may not want your name listed.
Where'd you put my drink?
Judging by the pre-show, it might be safest to just, you know, pretend that nobody knows you ever.
So, yeah, this is the reboot again of the Twig After Dark. Sort of just us just kind of hanging out, talking about whatever. It might be things we've seen in the news, might be something we've seen on Facebook or social media, or just be something that maybe has just crawled up our ass and we really want to talk about. So for this particular show, for this reboot of the reboot, it kind of starts with, well, it's going to, eventually it will get into reboots, but there's one thing, on social media I saw this week and it really, really bothered me.
The Civil War trailer. Because it didn't have Robert E. Lee in it.
Who I thought they were totally talking about the Dukes of Hazzard, General Lee, for about 10 minutes of that conversation. Just so I out myself as a complete idiot.
Least accurate depiction of the American Civil War ever.
I don't know. I would argue Donald Trump and his supporters would come up with a less accurate version of it.
This is probably...
Oh, wow, you went there, pulling the Trump card.
So here's what happened this week. A friend of ours had posted that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. had received tremendously low ratings for its season premiere, or for its mid-season premiere, which was like March 8th, I want to say. Either way, this past Tuesday. And people were calling it, oh, it's Agents of Shit, blah, 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 and people were, like, commenting.
Only one person.
Yeah, but he's like, how did the show get a second or a third or a fourth season? And I'm thinking, well, evidently Marvel believes in it enough so that they're putting money behind it, and I'm just going to venture, I'm guessing the guys who have the multi-million dollar corporation know better than you when it comes to what sells a product. And then Ryan had kind of jumped in on this as well, and, the person had argued that numbers don't lie. And Ryan, I'll let you take it from here.
Okay. You sure it was me, right? No, I don't know. Popular stuff is generally not the best stuff. I mean, my argument was, if you're going to say the numbers don't lie, then Backstreet Boys are the greatest musical artists of all time. Because, you know, they sadly... are. I hate you. Sadly, they're the highest, you know, selling artists. Ugh, I feel dirty saying that. Do we have to? Anyway, so
I want it that way.
Yeah. You know what? You're off the show. That's it. Anyway, so, and then, you know, number two, Avatar, then therefore is the greatest film of all time. And, oh, you know, the list could go on.
Wait, when you say Avatar, you're specifically saying Avatar The Last Airbender, the M. Night Shyamalan movie, not Avatar, the 3D spectacular film.
Of Thunder Smurfs.
Of Thunder Smurfs, they functionally had no plot other than to go, look how pretty our CGI is.
Yeah, is one that much better than the other? I mean, yes. It is, because, I mean, M. Night Shyamalan is god-awful, but let's be honest, Avatar is not a film that holds up particularly well, especially when not watched in 3D on a giant screen.
It's true. If you don't have the 3D glasses, it's not the same.
It's a spectacle, although, you know, I wouldn't call it an absolutely atrocious film, which the M. Night Shyamalan film, oh yeah. So, no, I did not mean it. But anyway, so, yeah, his point was just that, well, it's, you know, low-rated, so it must be bad. So, you know, go over history and how wrong is that? I mean, then Firefly was a terrible show because, you know, it got canceled. And I actually
John
used...
Carter would be a terrible movie.
Yeah,
it wasn't. It was awesome. Yeah.
I turned the tables on him and listed his shows, like some of his favorites, which all get really low ratings. So quality is not necessarily indicated by popularity. I mean, that's played out about 100 different times.
Yeah, I would also argue that Yeah. I would also argue the inverse isn't true, as like isn't no. necessarily true as well, because a lot of people would be like, oh, only these certain people like it, so therefore it's the best, right? It's hard because quality is so subjective as to like saying to be fair, anything, right? Like you can't quantify quality because everyone has a different idea of what quality is.
To be fair, Cleopatra 2025 was viewed by fewer people than Breaking Bad and was therefore way better. I mean, that's, you know, that's empirical fact. But, you know, when yes. you set that aside, oh, geez, why do I remember that
are
show?
We running, are we running under hipster logic now?
Yeah, apparently.
No, the fewer people that saw it, the better it was.
That's what I was trying to argue against.
I think that's an episode title right there, Hipster Logic. I think, yeah, I'm totally stealing that. But yeah, it's so weird because you think about people that if you're, I wouldn't necessarily call them closed-minded because that's a very bold statement, but it's hard to get them out of the comfort wheelhouse. And I myself was guilty of this for a really, really, really long time. And it was actually Ryan who kind of pushed me in a direction. And I'm like, all right, you know what? Fine. I want to see what he's talking about. And for years, Ryan had told me to check out the show Game of Thrones. And this past Christmas, HBO was kind enough to send me the first season. And I had to review it for my holiday gift guide. I'm thinking, you know what? Fine. Fuck. I'll take a look at it. And I absolutely got sucked in. And I remember fighting it for years because Ryan, I think, said this during the pre-show. He wasn't a big fan of fantasy.
Yeah, in general, I'm not. And there's exceptions. And I mean, I mentioned this too, that I got into it from reading the books, A Song of Ice and Fire, which I got into because everybody, way back when we're talking, I used to work at Chapters, and everybody there read them and loved them. So I gave it a shot, even though I'm not a huge fantasy guy. I've always been bigger into science fiction. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of what we're talking about, that it's really satisfying when you leave your sort of comfort zone, your wheelhouse, and you discover this thing that you really enjoy and you really like that 20 minutes ago you didn't know existed. And that's happened a few times. You know, when we were talking on the pre-show, I mentioned, well, and earlier too, I mentioned Firefly. I had no interest in Firefly. I watched, if anyone remembers, the Fox trailers for it were god awful. And by the way,
didn't even want it to succeed that much.
Yeah, and by the way, trailers in general, you know, a lot of people complained about the Ghostbusters trailer, which I thought was hilarious. So on my Facebook, I posted, if you've ever seen the trailers to the 1984, like the original Ghostbusters, oh, it's one of the
good either.
No, it's one of the worst trailers you can ever find. It's just terrible. Like, why anyone would go out and see the film after watching that? So trailers are not indicative of overall quality. That really rarely seems to happen. So I don't know. Just give, and it's an internet thing now that you don't give things a shot. You go by either critical reaction, which to a certain extent is okay. Like, if every single critic, say, gives Pixels a 0 out of 10, it's probably not a particularly good movie. There might be a few people who enjoy it, but if it's not, you know, but if you don't go to the theater every single time hoping to see Adam Sandler hijinks, this is probably not going to be the film for you. It's not going to convince you otherwise. Alternatively, you know, if something's in the 90s, in my opinion, that if somebody's willing to rate something, say a 9 out of 10, it should be something that pretty much anyone can enjoy. So to a certain extent, you can kind of listen to that. But my point would still be, go see it for yourself. Make up your own mind. I mean, I enjoy it when I end up disagreeing with someone's critical review of something because I end up pleasantly surprised by it.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to hate something, you should at least have a basis into what you're, like you said, you have to go see it for yourself. And
Spider-Man's uniform has a slightly off shade of red, and his eyes are funny, and therefore Civil War is a terrible movie.
Yeah, like I remember years ago, people ragging on, like the Marvel movies weren't going to be all that good. Now they're the utter rage. So
but now people are then countering by going, oh, they're not that good, they're overhyped.
Well, I mean, it does come down to that level of opinion, right? I think what the internet is most missing in a lot of cases is just like a kind discourse, because if you disagree with somebody for their points, like, if you
need
don't
to
like,
die, Roebuck.
Yes, I know. That's beside the point.
No, that was the point.
I know. I was kidding. I was kidding.
That's Reddit logic.
But, like, it's so many reviewers, especially ones who do it for a living, will post reviews on things. Because I read a very good reviewer, Allison Wilmore. She writes for BuzzFeed. She used to write for IFC. She didn't love the new Deadpool movie, but she had decent reasons for not liking it, and she wasn't the biggest fan. And I didn't agree with all of her points, but it was well written and it was well argued. And everyone and on the internet really...
When you were done sending your death threats, you then proceeded.
Yeah, because like everybody who wrote that, who saw that article, even before they saw the film, immediately was like, you're stupid, you don't know what you're talking about. And I felt the need to like just send her a message on Twitter, be like, hey, that review was well written. I don't agree with it, but you also shouldn't be getting all this hate mail. And her response was like, well, it's kind of expected. Like, if I review a superhero movie, it's expected that I will get this.
Which is depressing, by the way.
Yeah, like, that she'll get this response regardless of her review. So, it's I don't know, it's just really sad that there's no discourse level, there's no level of kind of talking about a movie. It's immediately like, frig you, I hate you. I can't believe you have this opinion.
I don't think there's anything serious enough, much less, you know, art and entertainment. There's nothing serious enough that you should be, you know, sending people death threats, or there's, you know, worse out there, especially to female reviewers that get put up, obviously. And yeah, there's no reason for it. Like, I don't understand being that upset over anything that's name is not Mad Max Fury Road. So, I mean, it's terrible. You shut up. Oh, sorry.
And, you know, that's a movie I actually wasn't that into, and it wasn't until, once again, Ryan, you said give it a shot, that I really was really impressed by, and I was actually
and then you said it was roughly an 8 out of 10, and I sent you death threats until you decided to make it a 10 out of 10, and we were all happy at that point. And that's exactly how the internet works. If you send somebody enough hatred and vitriol, they change their mind and they really like things. It's a great way to change people's perspective. I mean,
that's exactly how people work.
Yeah,
that's
exactly I can't tell you
how every human being works.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times somebody screaming at me has made me feel so much better about something. That's sarcasm for anyone who's slow out there.
No!
Oh.
The hell you say?
Well, you know, I gotta check.
Like, one of the worst things I've seen recently, and this was gonna come to this anyway, so talking about the new Ghostbusters trailer. This thing dropped last week. And within the trailer's just over 2.5 minutes. Within seconds of this thing being posted, oh, this thing is shitting on my childhood. This thing is terrible. These women are terrible.
You know, that's a point in itself. Nobody is doing anything to your childhoods.
Yeah,
your childhoods exist. And what I would say is, if I was physically able to ruin your childhoods, I would ruin all of your childhoods. I'm not able to.
Well,
try harder.
It's like they feel that someone has a TARDIS or a DeLorean, and every time these movies get made, they travel back to everybody's childhoods, and they walk up to you while you're like 6 years old, and you're lying on the floor, you're watching Real Ghostbusters, you're eating a bowl of Count Chocula, and they take a puppy out of a bag, and they hold the puppy in front of the TV, and they're like, oh, you like the puppy? You like the puppy? Well, the puppy likes Ghostbusters. You like Ghostbusters? Great. Puppy, Ghostbuster, same thing? Awesome. And then they brutally murder the puppy in front of you with a claw hammer.
Holy shit!
That's the only way you could ruin someone's childhood with one of these.
So my stuff in the pre-show is too over the top, but murdering puppies, brutally. You're fine with that. At least now I understand where your lines are, roughly. Anyway. Yeah, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of Michael Bay's Transformers. I'm a monstrous Transformer fan. But you know what? Somebody likes it. So I don't spend all my time on the internet talking about how crappy it is.
They made money. Somebody obviously liked these movies enough to spend money to see them.
And it's not just that. I mean, it keeps the license around. Star Trek's another great example. I didn't enjoy Into Darkness. I did like 2009. But the cool thing about it is, if you read like Star Trek the magazine or anything, which I do because I'm that cool/a nerd, and you read it and you read the letters, there's a whole ton of people who say, you know, I'm new to Star Trek, you know, what series should I start with, et cetera, et cetera. That's great. I mean, it opens the door to a whole new group. Ghostbusters is another example of this. I mean, it's going to be a new Ghostbusters for current generation. They're probably going to go back and watch the old ones if they haven't already. And it's going to create this sort of resurgence. And then for the people who don't go back, that's just going to be their version of Ghostbusters. It doesn't make it wrong or different. Star Wars is another great example. Star Wars A New Hope has been done a million times in different movies. As in that storyline, the idea of, you know, the young hero accepting his destiny, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And in fact, you know, Force Awakens, to be, you know, blunt, redid it as well. And that's fine. It doesn't make... It hasn't diminished the original Star Wars or erased it. You know, it's still there. You can still use the same ideas and same concept and even the same names. I mean, people hate the prequels and they like to pretend they don't exist. That's fine. You know, if they do that, that's okay. But I mean, they didn't erase the originals or ruin them or anything. People still enjoy them.
Yeah, and I think that any form of kindness will get you a lot farther than just being blatantly negative about something. It's not that if you dislike something, you can't say it, but it's just the fact of if you compliment somebody on what they do right, it usually does a lot more than...
That's a good idea. Andrew, I'd like to hear, what good do you think came from Kevin Smith's Tusk?
There were credits. The credits had words over a black screen. there are many, many words. Some people got paid. They probably fed their children and stuff. And that's it. That's everything.
They didn't go back
good.
In time and murder puppies in front of TV screens. And...
I mean, maybe somebody did that to Kevin Smith's childhood and that's why that movie happened, but I don't know.
Ow.
He's also making a movie about Killer Moose.
Yeah, he's pretty much doing Canucksploitation, where he's just exploiting Canada for all we're worth.
It was about time.
Well, to be fair, Andrew's going to watch it, so.
Probably.
Because he's going to have to.
But one of the other things associated with it, too, is all the people that are going after the people involved in the movie, too. Like, they're actually attacking... Leslie Jones, who is the black character, Patty Tolliver, I think her name is in the movie. They're going after Melissa McCarthy and Kristen Wiig. They're obviously going after Paul Feig. Yet they're leaving Kate McKenna more or less alone, I've noticed.
By the way, can we, you know, let's talk about something positive for just a second.
Oh, well.
Her performance in the trailers, my God, I will pay money to see that film just to see her expressions. Like, watch her in each scene.
Which character
was fantastic?
Holtzman. She's the chick.
The Egon-ish one, blonde.
Oh, with the goggles?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, the
watch her facial expressions and just her expression in general, like physical and everything else. It's wonderful. Like, that trailer, you know, like I said, I would pay money just to see her for that duration.
Yeah.
Do that.
Well, I actually rewatched Ghostbusters this afternoon. And it's a great movie. It's genuinely fun. But it's about as campy as it gets with the performances.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everybody came from the same place in this as this one, too. Like, everybody's kind of from SNL. You know, there's not necessarily, you know, there's one person that's done other things, which was Bill Murray in the original.
I just want for a moment to bring up the plot of Ghostbusters 2. Because the plot of Ghostbusters 2, if used in the modern day context, would just be about the internet. Because the plot of Ghostbusters 2 is that everyone's hatred and misery is secretly destroying the world. Because it powers the goop. And the only way to, like, destroy the evil is to just send positive vibes. And I just think that plot would work really well if adapted into a modern Ghostbusters movie.
To be fair, there are certain sites...
That would actually be kind of cool, actually.
Yeah, you've actually got a point there. Also, there are certain sites on the internet that power my goop as well, so...
Oh, hell da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da.
I gotta get a Brazzers logo now for our, like, episode graphics.
Nope, no, you do not. Yes, you do not need that.
Hey, we need sponsors. I'll take anyone. No, anyway. Yeah, I mean, Ghostbusters is a weird examination, too, because I want to hear everybody's opinion on this. The first movie, like the original, you know, the classic, I don't consider it necessarily a comedy. Like, I didn't find it was laugh out loud funny. Does anyone actually kind of think, like, it's... I think it's witty. I think it's definitely got its charm. Like, I, you know, smile and grin, but I don't consider it a, like, you know, rip-roaring, laugh-out-loud fest. Am
more,
I wrong?
It's more of a supernatural action comedy is what I would call it.
Yeah, I'm not sure where this idea came that it's got to be hilarious, though.
Well, I really find myself laughing a lot with the original film, so... To me, it is kind of like a laugh out loud comedy. But for me, I saw that still in the trailers. Like it's this weird thing of where I watch the trailers and I was like, oh, that looks fun. Like I smiled and was like having a good time watching this trailer. And then like I go on the internet and it's like, they must die for this. And I was like, did we watch the same trailer? Am I out of touch? I don't understand.
Yeah, and you know what? The first movie. It was funny in places, certainly, but that was because of the interplay of the dialogue. And from what I've seen, the dialogue in this and the new Ghostbusters looks like it's actually pretty funny. It's pretty solid.
Yeah, like, I don't get where all the kind of hate's coming from. Now, there is one part in the trailer I don't like from the first version, where they have Leslie Jones slapping Melissa McCarthy. I just think I would have rather seen more other stuff of the storyline rather than giving us a 30-second clip from the movie. But yeah, I mean, other than that, like, it seems witty. I mean, I like everyone's like kind of mannerisms in it, and yeah, the dialogue seems to work from what I can tell. It's like you have to have this internet hate dick for something that you just have to smack people with it, because like I said, oh, I hate this, I hate your childhood, this isn't going to be like the original. Like Ryan said, this, the original wasn't exactly this laugh a riot thing, and I don't know. It's people are so defensive of certain properties.
Well, while we're at it, I'm going to wander into even further, more angering territory. A lot of people had a problem with Leslie Jones' performance, period. Calling it sort of stereotypical and, you know, she's the stereotypical black person, basically, or stereotypical black lady in the trailer, that kind of thing. First of all, I mean, we haven't seen the movie, so it's pretty hard to tell that. And, oh, opening myself up to a lot of hate mail here. Luckily, nobody listens. But let's be honest for a second here. Winston was basically the butler.
And it's
I mean, too. It's, I hate to say it, but I mean, the original is not exactly known as being particularly progressive. I mean, Winston wasn't given a lot to do. He just responded to an ad and is basically like, well, you can carry stuff for us.
Well, that's literally the first scene that he's in. Hey, this is Winston Zeddemore. He's here for the job. You're hired. Ray immediately drops the ghost traps in his arms.
Now, it sucks because Ernie Hudson has gone on record saying his character has changed literally the night before shooting started. He was supposed to be this like Air Force colonel. He was going to bring like this like kind of military experience to the team. And then they changed him to this everyman the day before they started shooting.
Yeah, it's not necessarily an excuse as well to excuse. Yeah, and it's not an excuse to excuse if there is typecasting in the new one. But I don't know.
I think the character is supposed to be a municipal historian or something like that.
Yeah, it's... And I hate to say it, and man, again, I could understand a lot of people being upset at me saying this, but it's kind of one step forward, one step back for Hollywood. I mean, they give female leads the job, and then, you know, maybe there is some typecasting going on, hopefully not, but if that's the case, that's really unfortunate for something that looked like it was kind of a step forward. But, you know, this is... We're judging it on a trailer, which I said earlier is a terrible idea because there's some god-awful and really good trailers for some really bad movies, so...
Yep.
Like, I'm really hoping as the months go by that we'll see more and more behind-the-scenes footage. We'll see maybe like, hey, here's a 5-minute clip sort of thing. Because I know they've done that for like other movies, stuff like that. Like, hey, here's the first 5 minutes.
I mean, I don't want that because I don't want to be spoiled for the movie coming in. And I honestly, at this point, I don't think anyone who is super against the movie is getting turned around. It just doesn't seem to be happening. It's like the same people who've hated it since it was first announced are still hating it now. And I don't know. Is there a way to win these people over? Or is it just going to be the same thing?
I don't think
Do you really need to, though? I mean, let's look.
No, I'm not arguing that.
No, it's not that. I mean, look historically in terms of box office returns. Look at the stuff the internet has loved versus stuff the internet has kind of shit on. And let's be honest, money made doesn't generally sort of reflect one or the other. Like, the internet adored Serenity, and by the way, so did I. I saw it, what, I think 4 times in theater. Yes. I loved that movie, but it bombed.
Yeah.
Scott Pilgrim versus the World, same thing. Like, you know, it's just because the internet likes or doesn't like something is not an indicator of how it's going to do. Transformers 2 made a ton of money. Internet absolutely, and rightfully so, despises it.
Now, to talk about Scott Pilgrim for a second, I was one of the few people that was not blown away by that.
Oh.
You know, it's funny because one of the people I went to college with, Pierce, was an extra in that movie, and he had it so hyped up for me. He loaned me the graphic novels. I read the graphic novels mostly before the movie came out. And I saw it, and I wasn't impressed, truthfully. I don't know how to feel about that, because I feel like the internet's telling me one thing. This should be amazing. This should be right up my alley, but it just wasn't.
Well, at least you're not telling everyone who liked it to die. So yeah. You're doing something right. Like, for me, I really like Scott Pilgrim, but I felt the same way you did. That's how I felt about Wreck-It Ralph. I really feel like that film was very much pitched to me in the way that Scott Pilgrim was. And Scott Pilgrim was way, way better than
You were way too young for all the Wreck-It Ralph characters, of course.
It's
Mario,
true.
Mario walks in and you're like, who is that? Isn't that the guy from those party games?
Who is this Zangief? I don't understand.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a thing.
And why is his accent way better than Scarlet Witch's?
Don't you insult my accent from Nowheresville. It is the best.
Hey, you don't insult Scarlet Witch's accent, otherwise she curses your ass with her indistinct ability to make things happen.
Yes, have powers that no one can understand. Bolts of red
just
attack.
Just like accent.
Just like accents. Accent like powers. Unpleasant.
We were experimented on to give strange accent to. Powers, weird side effect.
They must sound generically Eastern European to make us sound like old villains in Cold War era movie.
So Rocky and Bullwinkle with superpowers. Awesome.
Well, you know, Avengers are just like Moose and Squirrel.
I must break you, Tony Stark.
Nice. So I think we can all agree, though, that whoever designed Spider-Man's costume should die in a fire.
I really like it, actually. I think
so do I. Cool. I like the eyes. I like the fact that they move versus... I wonder if... Well, I mean, obviously this was in production way earlier than Deadpool, I would say. And so it's not, you know, one or the other, but I like this idea of the masks being able to show some form of expression,
well,
I guess.
Someone had said the eyes are mostly a practical effect, and like they're not as CG. They'll be enhanced by CG. Like those are they're kind of like camera shutters.
Does everyone remember the first Spider-Man, as in Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man?
Oh, yeah.
Does everybody remember the god awful Green Goblin mask that had one expression?
So, finish it.
Spider-Man.
Well, it wasn't a mask. It was a helmet.
Evil.
The
Green Goblin mask was a helmet.
All right. It was terrible, though. Like,
I could just quote that entire movie. MJ and I were going to have one hell of a time.
But you decided to play the role of the hero, and the people love to see a hero fail. Stop crying. Die.
I wish he had had a serious soliloquy where he wasn't yelling and he had still had that on. My entire life is a lie. I should have done something more with it. And he's still got like the wacky grin.
Instead, you get great lines like, out am I, throws a grenade.
But that's like the Joker having an existential crisis.
Well, don't get me started on Jared Leto's look. That's a costume I'm not behind.
What costume? It's mainly just face paint.
Well, I meant more that's the just tattoos. Jared Leto. Has anyone seen the amazing Bruce Wayne version of those tattoos, though?
Yeah, I think I have.
Yeah, I sent it to you once. Anyway, it's a picture of Ben Affleck with his shirt off, and it's got like dollar signs tattoos on it, and he's got "My parents are dead" tattooed on his chest.
My parents are dead.
And then on his forehead in giant letters is the word pain, and just. It's phenomenal.
I like the idea that Jared Leto just actually had those tattoos and was like, wait, what? I wasn't supposed to get... He just, like, got them for real, and they showed up on set, and they're like, those are a little
If you ever watch Power Rangers Dino Thunder and you wonder why Tommy always wears long-sleeved shirts, it's because Jason David Frank went off and got a shit ton of tattoos at one point, and it's really difficult to explain to kids as, Mommy, what does Jesus didn't tap mean?
What's that Zord on? You're wondering why I have "fuck the system" written on my arm? Well.
Aye, 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 Tommy. I don't need curse words. Aye, aye.
Remember, good guys don't get tattoos, kids. Only while I was under the influence of Rita Repulsa would I have gotten tattoos that didn't show up for another 10 years.
Fuck the Ranger.
And they all have fucking like nipple piercings and everything else.
Lord Zed for life.
Tommy's got like a Prince Albert.
Oh, please, please let us write the Power Rangers reboot.
Yeah, on his chest, he's got like the Zed from like the top of his like scepter.
I want to patch a skin on my upper chest that just looks like Lord Zed's skin. So you mean like exposed muscle? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. All right.
It looks badass.
In our Power Rangers reboot, Bulk and Skull are both internet commenters.
What, you mean like Dr. Doom was originally going to be before they rewrote
it? Yeah, basically.
I'm just imagining it like now. It's like... All women must die.
Oh my god, Bulk and Skull have fedoras.
They're MRAs.
They have fedoras. Bulk has a neck beard.
They're MRAs. That's what
and the want. And the like traditional theme is just done with rifles, like.
And what's funny is they really like the Pink Ranger, but as soon as they meet her out of costume and they don't know who it is, they just hate her. I really like that Pink Ranger. Yeah, so do I. Like, oh, hey, we hate you.
Hey, Kimberly. Yeah. I got a thing. I got to go, guys. Oh, she friend-zoned us. They don't write bad things about her on the internet now.
Bitch, I'm going to YouTube.
I got to YouTube.
I got a vlog about... Hold on, fuck. I got to find this shit.
That would be great.
Did the Megazord just step on Bulk and Skull? Maybe.
Collateral damage. You deal with that shit.
That's true. We could have them killed at some point in every movie or episode.
Every movie, they just keep coming back.
They just, bad happens, but they come back.
If you want to make it really modern day, there's a scene in like the original Power Rangers where like Lord Zed and Rita Repulsa become giant and just start destroying buildings, and then it just cuts back, and they're like, "Good thing we have an abandoned warehouse district." Part of me really wanted to like Photoshop like 9/11 or something, and then it cuts back to the characters and they're like, "Can jet fuel really melt steel beams?"
Oh my god! Oh,
all right, well, and Andrew's the first one to go down a road we didn't.
Wow,
want to.
that was black card, man. That was wow.
I was thinking more along the lines of what would actually happen is they make them American. Rita Repulsa and Lord Zed are both Americans, and they're destroying giant cities in America. But it cuts to Donald Trump, and he's talking about how, you know, we have to stop people from ISIS and other countries from destroying their cities.
We need to build all around the moon.
Yeah, no, there's no problem from American terrorism.
I'm pretty sure Trump just is a Power Rangers villain. Like.
Oh my god, yeah, no, at some point they'll just reveal him to be a monster.
That would be great.
You'll just see five teenagers run into a Donald Trump press conference. No, Trumpadon, we finally caught you! And he'll go, oh, Power Rangers! No, no, you finally revealed my evil plans! And then he'll turn into a rubber-suited monster.
And then the rest of the GOP just watch while they fight one on five. Nobody tries to help.
Imagine when he loses the election, that's when he turns into like giant Trump.
And then he'll fight like the giant Megazord with his supposedly giant penis, so it'll be amazing.
Ugh. By the way,
short stubby fingers.
Serious Power Rangers question, just for a second. Okay. How come Rita and nobody else actually just sent like a shitload of monsters? Send them all at once. Why do you always just send one at a time?
Yeah, a lot of the bad guys have some reason for it. For some of the bad guys, it's actually for a couple of the bad guys, especially in stuff like SPD, it was actually budget reasons for the villains. All of their giant robots they were getting through a bunch of mercenaries, and they didn't want to pay the mercenaries too much.
Well, what's more expensive if you just pay the group of them once or pay them every single week to fail miserably?
Look, nobody overlords made good accountants. Oh my god, that's what we totally need in Power Rangers at some point. Is some minion who's just the bad guy's accountant.
Haha, I'm the accountant here.
Who are you? I'm the CPA.
I just wanted to tell you, Master Trumpeton, that we can't keep throwing giant robots at the Power Rangers. We're already $10 billion in the hole here. We pretty much have to take over the world at this point, otherwise we're ruined.
You already spent our budget on giant robots to destroy Mexico and the Middle East.
That's okay, they'll pay for it anyway.
It's me, Auditron. I'm here to give you an audit.
Auditron. And the Iron Man minions.
That sounds like a Decepticon villain. Optimus Prime, I'm here to audit your finances.
Well, actually, in the original Transformers, there was Ratbat, who was concerned with fuel consumption and everything else more than...
So the Cybertronian Revenue Service existed.
Yeah, basically. That was in the original comics. Yeah, I'm a nerd. Go away.
Transformers also brought us the great nation of Carbamia,
which is not a thing
I made up.
Wait, Carbamia?
Yes.
Yeah. What's great is Andrew didn't believe that was real. I had to actually go prove it to him.
Yeah, and then it also.
Excuse me for a moment. I actually have to Google this.
Yeah. It got so bad that Casey Kasem left the show over it.
Yep, that's why Casey Kasem left the show. And it was pretty funny because, like, the article I found on it was like, what next? Are they going to start calling it Attackistan? Like, there was all
Socialist
these, like...
Democratic Federated Republic of Carbamia.
Yep.
Yep, it exists.
What? What in all the... What?
What in the sweet, merciful Jesus?
It's about as... What?
mind blown.
What?
It was not a very good episode either. Like to add that, you know. Just
what?
In case.
Okay. I really wish it was the best episode of the show.
What?
And you couldn't show
what?
It to anyone.
Oh my god, I have this. It's a Middle Eastern.
Yes, it is.
The Sahara region of Africa. Yep. Wealthy mm-hmm. from oil.
Yep.
Ruled by a guy named Abdul Fakadi.
Uh-huh. I see no problems.
Its capital city is specifically listed as having 10,000 camels.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my god. I didn't think it went that far down the rabbit hole.
Andrew, you didn't know that part?
Oh, I think I forgot that part. All right. I can't believe some of this.
Our number
80s
one export
kids
is
will
camels.
Remember Carbamia. Can somebody make an 80s kids will remember this and just have
I'm an 80s kid and I don't remember Carbamia. Then again, I'm not surprised. I'm pretty sure I wiped this from my memory.
I seem to remember a Transformers episode where a girl wanted to fuck Power Glide for some reason.
That was the girl who loved Power Glide.
Yeah, that one I do remember.
And randomly, the Autobots got transformed into people and went dancing. Or something.
That was not suddenly human. That's an episode of Star Trek.
The capital city of Carbamia City, very cleverly named, has 4,000 people and 10,000 camels.
Why not?
It's explicitly listed in an image.
Yep.
I am I don't what, but, and, but, what, what, what?
Yeah, it's you not broke to... me.
You fucking broke me on this one.
Not one of Transformers' best moments.
That's somehow making it into the episode art. Just
and yet, it's still less racist than the Michael Bay films.
Yeah, I mean, at least there's no enemy scrotum.
Well, that one's not racist. That was just dumb.
Although, in the novelization for Dark of the Moon...
Oh, sorry, this should be good.
Have you read, you've read the novelization of a Michael Bay Transformers movie.
I just read the wiki on it. They're actually supposed to kill Skids and, like, Mudflap, actually.
Yeah, they were supposed to, like, get ripped in half and, like, have, like, a super violent death, if I remember correctly.
Which, I'm really sad that I didn't make it to the screen.
Didn't the two of them combine into an ice cream truck or something like that?
Yeah.
Yes.
And then they turned in the Chevy Volt or something when they were...
Yeah, because of course, what your movie needs is blackface bots.
Blackface bots from the nation of Carbomia.
Probably manufactured in the nation of Carbomia.
That would be amazing. Like, it's to blame for all the racist Transformers.
Honestly, it just should be... That's the sucking chest wound in the reality of Transformers from which... all terrible things emerge because the writers created it and they couldn't top themselves after that. There's no way that you can go over the top or get anywhere beyond Carbomia.
No.
That is your apex. You've scaled the mountain at that point.
Yeah, I wonder if like Auditron visited them for real and they had to get an episode out really quick.
Auditron is here. He says we can cut 50 writers out of this 42 writer room. That doesn't make sense. How are we going to get -8 writers? Well, you'll have to come up with something. Carbomia. Oh my god, that's worth -8 writers.
I want to see who's credited on that episode.
To be fair, I've always assumed that there are -8 writers working on Gotham, so.
It's Gotham. What's the ethos of this episode? Well, you know that DC Batman villain that we really like? Yeah, we're going to kill him this episode.
But don't worry, by the time Batman shows up, the Riddler will somehow be 30 again. Even though he's like 30 here.
The Riddler, who's going to be in his mid-50s by the time Bruce Wayne becomes Batman.
Batman, you threw out my bag.
Dark Knight, I'd love to fight you right now, Dark Knight.
But my arthritis won't let me.
But my arthritis is acting up, and I've just been diagnosed with prostate cancer. So, I give up a life of crime. Well, you beat me, Dark Knight.
Yep.
Yeah, I like
you
how...
You and the years I spent waiting for you to come into existence have beaten me.
I like how every episode is like Gordon, like, I'm going to play by the rules and not break all my vows to the government and law. And then he works with Penguin and does a hit for Penguin. Happens in an episode.
Yeah, he's done a terrible job of the whole, like, being an officer, not killing and stuff.
Yeah, he's like the Captain Lance, but, like, up to 11.
Captain Lance.
I gave up on that show after, like, the mid-season last year.
You know what you have to do. You have to post hate messages about it every week, though. Because you stopped watching it, and if anyone else watches it, they must be stupid.
You know what? I kept watching it for a while, because they had... Cameron Monaghan, I think is the name of the actor, playing this guy. And it's almost explicit in the show that this guy is supposed to be the Joker.
Oh, right.
And then they fucking... kill him! They've had like 4 or 5 episodes where this guy has just been the Joker. And you can see where the actor is piecing together all these different Joker performances. Like, he'll say a line, and he'll have Mark Hamill's inflection on it. He'll act, and he'll have Jack Nicholson's mannerisms. Or he'll do Heath Ledger. And it's great. It's like the actor is playing a Joker who's trying to find his Joker. Who's trying to find how he's going to be the Joker. And I'm like, wow, this is great. And I took a picture of him at one point, and I ran it through Photoshop, where I'm just gonna do white paint on his face, give him a big red smile, do his hair green. Holy shit, he really does look like the Joker. Then they fucking kill him. And you know what the twist is at the end of the episode? Anybody could be the goddamn Joker, because suddenly people start laughing and murdering people.
Now,
because you know what the Joker actually is? He's a meme.
Now, here's the fucked up thing. Now, supposedly, I saw this image earlier this week. In a future episode of Gotham, Lori Petty is going to be the fucking Joker now. Tank Girl.
Oh,
you know what? I'd buy it.
I'm like, all right.
You know what? If you're going to do a gender-bent Joker, Lori, you can't go too wrong with Lori Petty.
I just thought it was just so weird. Like, see, and it sucks, though, because Gotham, I think, had potential to be cool, but then it just got so stupid so quickly.
Well, no, the problem was they sent it too far back in time.
Yeah.
Like, there's never... Sorry, go on.
Oh, I was going to say, they should have just done Gotham Central, which is, like, during and, like, you didn't even need Batman for that show.
I would argue the opposite of what I said earlier, though, and that is... Earlier, I had said, if you have good writing, good characters, that kind of thing, you can set a show wherever, whenever. It really doesn't matter. Gotham is the opposite example. If you have, say, bad writing and really bad characterization that's all over the map every week, I don't care when they would have set the series. It would still not be good. That's the problem it has.
Exactly.
Like week to week, do any of the characters even know what their motivations are to do anything? They really don't. It's like just it's all over the map.
Here's the thing, though. They were originally doing it as an adaptation of Gotham Central because they have Crispus Allen, they have Renee Montoya, they have Harvey Bullock, they have Jim Gordon. They could have done Gotham Central, guys, and it would have been great. Gotham Central is a great series. It's really well done, but fucking no, we got this shit.
Basically, everything Greg Rucka has written needs to be adapted at some point.
When are we going to get our fucking Queen and Country movie?
That's a good series, and the novels are really good.
The novels are really good.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm going to have to bring this back to Carbamia for a quick second.
We're not going back to Carbamia.
The hell is wrong?
That is a mountain of shit we do not need to climb again.
Thief in the Night, the episode featuring it, has a rating on IMDb by 26 people, the episode specifically. What would you guess that rating is?
Out of what, 10?
Out of 10, yes.
I don't know, 7?
Yes,
Gotham 7. Gotham somehow has an 8, so I'm going to assume 14 out of 10.
The answer is 7. 26 people really like that episode. So the writer of that episode also wrote a TV documentary. It was called Jesus in India. He wrote a few episodes of The Garbage Pail Kids.
That's a pedigree you can trust.
And a 1981 movie, She Dances Alone.
What? Clearly. Why are we going through this person's IMDb page?
Because we want to know his secret shame.
Because Carbamia exists.
And it's okay. He directed a Marilyn Monroe documentary coming out this year. The more you know. Carbamia style.
Carbamia. Which has now made it into the episode art, just so you know.
Oh, God, why?
Carbamia and ghost boobs. Yeah, you'll have to wait and see when the episode artwork is done. I think you'll be impressed with our 4,000 or with our 10,000 camels.
Two great tastes that taste great together.
So I've been your host, Jeff Roebuck.
No,
Timmy Roebuck.
I'm just trying to make sure my name doesn't make it anywhere onto here.
I'm a dude, and I'm doing dude things, and I'm not affiliated with these people.
I like puppies.
I'm Carlos Mencia.
Oh, well, then. Wait, what? Could you have picked a worse? What? Well, at least the Carbamia stuff makes sense, and your odd fascination with it. Maybe if you can, you know.
I'm Alan Smithy.
Maybe if you can now make fun of the disabled, I'll believe that you're... then I'll believe you're Carlos Mencia. Oh, but make sure you steal some of Jeff Dunham's material or something.
Oh, why would you want to?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I think we should just... In the episode notes, we should all just be listed as Alan Smithy, and I think we're good to go then.
We are all terrible, terrible people. So I think we've probably taken this as far as we probably should from Carbamia, ghost boobs, and Gotham's questionable everything.
I'm really curious where you got the ghost boobs from, because that never came up at all. You just randomly decided to have a picture of that in the show thing.
Well, it's because I wanted to talk about the Ghostbusters trailer, and we kind of did, so, That and I'm done the artwork, so fuck off. But anyway, so yeah, ideally we'll try and get these out about every 2 weeks. It'll probably be me, Andrew, and Ryan, and whoever we can drag in at the last minute. So
please send Mike at This Week in Geek all of the hate mail so we never have to do this again.
And I'll try and get someone famous to read it. thinking, let me go through my Rolodex. Here, read this. Dear fat fuck. I'm trying to think what's the worst piece of hate mail I've ever gotten. I was called a fucking idiot once.
That was on your Facebook page, and that was somebody.
Oh, yeah. That very, very long message.
Oh, that douche nozzle. Whatever. You know what? I wish him well, and that's about the best I can do for him. So
you can't call him a douche nozzle and then say I wish him well.
Yes, I can.
I wish him a nice day in the nation of Carbamia.
Wow. On that note, we have been
Alan Smithy,
Jeff Smith,
Robert Picardo.
Wait, hey, he's a good guy. What are you doing?
I love him. Anyway, I've been near. Blah, blah. I'm leaving. Bye.
Bye.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my god, there's snot on my face. And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub, and I'm not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F*** you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with a shat.
Okay, I'm good. Geico.
Holy shit. Oh my gosh, freak! Die! Holy crap! Whoa! Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are
you?
Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by @replying to @thisweekingeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Prono Bozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.